Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hashtag no music, no intro. It is football season. It is back a Wednesday night. Saints Block Party podcast preview pod looks a little different. We are joined, if you have not listened to the episode that we did with Scott Puszka, former Nike CEO, but more importantly, the CEO of Field Vision MI Matchup Index, which launched September 3rd. Please go back and listen to that episode so you know what Field Vision is about, but he'll talk about it here. Welcome back, Scott. Thank you for joining us tonight, man. We have football tomorrow with your favorite team, the Chiefs. The Saints have their shenanigans, and we're excited to see how that plays out. It just feels good that football is about to start again.
Hey, I am thrilled that this is the last night that that we have to not have, you know, to be in the preseason and not have football on. I'm also thrilled to be joining you guys. Adam, I do have to make one correction just so people don't think I'm an imposter. I was not okay. The CEO of Nike.
Oh, sorry. That's what I meant. Just out there, just throwing false news, fake news, just out there.
I wish I was.
Whoops.
I was not, but we are pumped to be starting a company called Field Vision, and you guys have been awesome supporters, so we appreciate that. But so glad to be talking ball here.
Glad to have you on. Just so people who may have not listened to the episode, obviously in today's world, everyone has a product, has what have you. For people who are listening to this right now, we're live streaming on YouTube, Twitch, Kick, Twitter, all across platforms. What makes Field Vision MI unique and special, and how can it benefit our listeners who may want to download the app from the App Store from the Google Store?
Yeah, Field Vision Sports is a predictive analytics app built specifically for football, built specifically for football fans. We think there's a couple things that make us unique. A, we're not a bunch of data wonks. B, we're not a bunch of football film heads. We're both of them combined, and we really, really believe in that. I think we came to you guys through Cody Alexander. Cody is a dude that knows more.
My God.
Yeah, that's how I feel most times I'm talking. I always give him shit on our, but
it's amazing, yeah. Man. It's truly amazing. He's special. And I don't mean that as a slant. Like, it's a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got data scientists doing AI modeling back on years of data, but we also have football experts like Cody, and there's magic when you put them together. And we hope that's the experience people get in our app is it's a unique UI. It's a digestible UI, and hopefully people are going to become familiar with this thing we call the matchup index, which is that for every player in every game, every week of the season, we have a point of view on their matchup, and we quantify that based on specific advantages or disadvantages in coverage scheme, in field area, in personnel advantages that we see, quite frankly, in the model and on the field.
It's so fascinating. I downloaded the app. It's a beautiful looking app. The login, the experience, the user experience. So if I'm just a football nerd and I just want to digest the most information that I want, that I can get, and, you know, my team is about to play this weekend, the Saints about to play the Panthers, what can I get from this app? Like, what specific can I get? Is it for fantasy? Is it for betting? Is it for just my own personal arguments at the barbershop or whatever? Like, what can I get from this app?
I feel like you almost just either teed me up or have been reading our content. To be honest with you, you can do all three. The primary use case is betting, and we're going to make betting recommendations in the app. We put out some best bets for the first couple games of the season. But you can make start sit decisions based on fantasy. And if you're interested in digesting content in your team, there's a really, really easy way to do that, which is if you go to the matchup tab. The matchup tab is built to have every player, but if you see that game carousel at the top, like, just go for this week, click on Saints Panthers, right? And it's just going to take you to that game. We have a prediction, and it's just going to show you all the matchups for your favorite team. And you can dig into any player you want to see. But the reason we think it has so many use cases is because to us, everything comes down to the matchup. Like, whether your dude's like you and you're doing a pregame podcast and you want to talk about football and create content, you're trying to place a bet, or you're trying to have a point of view on fantasy, it all comes down to who has the best matchup against the defense that they're playing.
Right. Period. Yeah. That's what's so cool about it, because it's like, you look at Bryce Young, it's Bryce Young versus the Saints defense. You know, it's Chuba Hubbard versus the Saints defense. It's all the Jamal Wheat. It's all broken down into matchups, which is what it's all about at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like, people say, people be like, well, Derek Carr versus Bryce Young. No, it's Derek Carr versus the Panthers defense. And, you know, their linebackers and their pass rushers and their cornerbacks, blah, 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 blah. So that's just a cool way to put it. You know, like, it's really refreshing, actually.
Yeah. And we're trying to be not disingenuous about the advantages or disadvantages we see. So, like, I was coming on here tonight, I was pretty transparent with you guys. Like, I don't see anything. We don't see anything. Our model doesn't see anything in Saints Panthers that is, like, glaringly a massive matchup advantage or disadvantage, but that's okay. There are some things that are, like, tomorrow night, Mark Jackson has actually the worst matchup in our entire app for week one against the Chiefs defense. So that's cool, but if we don't see any massive advantages, we're not going to call them out.
And then I guess the question is, obviously, with the data, it being right now, it's like everyone's 0-0, and we talked about this on the last episode that when you were on. As the season plays out and more trends for offensive teams, defensive teams, all that, I would assume that the goal is for that to update weekly to incorporate all that together.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Our, and this is the way our Havoc and threat ratings are built too, but everything is built on, it takes into account all of your historical performance, but it heavily, heavily weights recent performance.
Quite
frankly, first game of the season is the hardest game to do this.
I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest game for, like, you know, we could get in and the Saints could be freaking awesome. They could be terrible. You know, everyone feels maybe, like, I don't want to get in trouble saying this on this podcast, but I think people feel like they're probably somewhere in between there. Right. somewhere in the middle of the pack, but week one's the hardest. Like, so once we get this week of data, you got new receivers with new quarterbacks, you got running backs behind new offensive lines, you got new defensive coordinators, right? Running different coverages, Cody's favorite thing.
Yes, well, yeah, it is.
Yeah. So our model will weight heavily week one and look at, whoa, like how different was Stephon Diggs on the Texans versus the Bills, right?
Right.
And our hypothesis is there are some tendencies certainly of players that carry over. Like Diggs is really good against man, like much better against man than he is against zone. I bet that will carry over to the Texans, but it could look different.
You brought up something that I found very interesting, which is the Havoc Index and I'm blinking on it.
Threat ratings.
So I think maybe specifically for this matchup for Saints Panthers, if you could just let the listeners know just a synopsis of like what those things are and then how that maybe incorporates to this the matchup on Sunday.
Yeah. So we have two proprietary rankings, one for defense, one for offense. For defense, we call them Havoc ratings. Hopefully it's not super complex. It's a defense's job to create havoc. and then for offensive teams, we call them threat ratings, right? So if you're an offensive player, you're trying to create as much threat as possible. You know,
right.
Someone like Tyreek Hill is high on that list. Yeah. We started them as player ratings, but you can also apply them to teams. So like if you just take the Saints, for example, in terms of the Saints team havoc rating, we've got them as the number four overall team when it comes to coverage on defense. Actually pretty low, like in the late 20s, early 30s in pass rush, and then but number 10 in the blitz. And so like when we come up with a team ranking, which we've got the Saints defense ranked 9th overall, we're trying to blend those things all together, right? And that's a combination of Saints players, what they're good at, whether it's pass coverage, run coverage, blitzing, and the quality of their defensive coordinator. So we've got the Saints, I think, is what I say, 9 overall in defense. Yeah. We've got Carolina actually like right there. We're actually right in front of them at 7th on defense.
Interesting.
On defense. But if you click over to offense, Carolina we have as the 30th ranked team in the league. And we've got New Orleans more in the middle of the pack. Number 18 on offense. So you got the Saints as number 9 overall defense, number 18 overall offense. If you click into the model, our model likes New Orleans, which probably isn't a huge shock in this game. Like we don't think Carolina is going to be super good. I think we project the score to be 23-17. I believe a 4-point spread. So we'd take the Saints, the spread, and to be honest with you, probably the under because both defenses are good and I'd expect the offenses to struggle, but it's kind of right on the number.
Man, sounds
about right.
It does. And it's crazy to me, like you said those numbers and they all felt like spot on. Like the only one that had me raise my eyebrows a little bit was Carolina's defense. And I think that's, you know, just from a thing like maybe their defense a little underrated. I know that, you know, they have a good defensive coordinator. They added some players, Jadeveon Clowney and what have you. But like the numbers just feel right. Like they just feel very, very right. It's actually like raised questions like in our YouTube chat. Like someone was like, Carolina defense with like nothing but like question marks and exclamation points. One of our good listeners, Mark, asked, are those rankings adjusted as the season goes on?
Yeah, they will be, just like player rankings. So, you know, as we start to get data, teams are more difficult than players, the information you get. And I can tell you, like, not only us, but Cody, who has a heavy hand in obviously some of our defensive rankings. People are really high on Ajiro Evero as a defensive coordinator. Feel like the Carolina defense is a defense that could take a leap this year. So, you know, we'll find out as we get into the first couple weeks of the season.
Right.
Dennis Allen's a proven commodity in terms of the quality of defense he brings. They've been top 10, you know, for several years now.
Several years. Yeah, I tweeted the other day, like, we give DA a lot of shit on this podcast. But you can't take it away from him as far as defense. Like, it's hard to be consistent in the NFL.
It is.
On defense. Like, it's really hard. And to do what he's done since, like, 2017, it's like, got to give him credit for that. I'd just rather him be a defensive coordinator and not a head coach. That's all. That's my only.
I mean, the thing I'm, and maybe you guys have talked about this already, but the thing I'm most curious about with the Saints is offense and two things. One, like Clint Kubiak, and is he going to bring a more dynamic nature to that offense? Two, when are we going to start Spencer Rattler?
So maybe you guys, we
don't have a model for that. So maybe you guys could drop some knowledge on me.
Oh man. Where do we even start? Listen, me and Ryan have talked about this at nauseam. We have started a little tiny movement that, you know, you have people like Mina Kimes and what have you talking about it. It's just, we're not blind. Like, our eyes don't deceive us. Like, you can't deny how well he played in the preseason. His arm talent is it's stellar. And you can also make the case and argument that just in terms of Clint Kubiak's offense and what he wants to run, there probably isn't a better quarterback on the team that fits that offense better than Spencer Rattler, because the ball gets out quick. This is Derek Carr's team. If at some point things go off the rail, and I would probably guess it would have to look bleak, like 2-6 or just something very bleak. I think at that point, the organization would really consider starting Spencer Rattler, because if you're going to be picking top 10, top 5, you need to know if you potentially have, I'm not comparing them as players, but like if it hit the lottery as a football team, like the Niners did with Brock Purdy, and maybe you have the guy in the building, and then you can then allocate that top 5, top 10 pick to another position. Me and Ryan both know that there are people in the building that are extremely high on Spencer Rattler and his potential.
I feel like, well, first of all, the likelihood that it goes off the rails for the Saints is low. But like, because we just talked about their defense, like relatively consistently good. And B, like, Carr's been a serviceable quarterback in the league for a while. He will probably continue to be that. And the division is probably not the strongest division in football. So I don't feel like it's going to go off the rails. But if you're the Saints, like, to your point, don't you want to see what you have in Spencer Rattler? And like, you might never find out if you don't. Like, perfect scenario is, I don't know, Carr gets a non-serious injury that puts him out for 4 weeks in like week 6. And then you get to see Spencer Rattler, see what he can do.
Or just how it ended up, like his career ended in Las Vegas. It was kind of similar. Like, it was towards the end of the season and he got this injury and they're like, oh, we don't want to pay this guaranteed money, so we're going to sit you down.
A little bit, you know. it's what you said the number one point, the Clint Kubiak. That's the biggest addition of the offseason for the Saints. If you look at the offense, like, they haven't really changed much as far as personnel. It's Clint Kubiak, and oh my goodness, like, I'm just, that is what I can't wait to see on Sunday. I want to see the change, because if you look at Pete Carmichael's offense the past 2 years, I could write a 20-page list of the issues they had on offense. So if he just brings us up to date to the 21st century motion. motion, play action from under center, you know, implementing the wide zone running scheme.
Yeah.
Using Alvin Kamara in the pass game.
Crazy concept.
Crazy concepts like that. I would just love to see it. It should work. It should work in theory, but, you know, the Saints do have offensive line issues. There are a lot of question marks at wide receiver. So we'll see. But I'm just so excited to see what Clint Kubiak, just the coaching change, how much of an impact does just the coaching change make?
Help, yeah. Our dude Mark in the chat said, help Derek think less. Just.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
Just go out there. Throw right for here. Sure. Right here.
For sure. Well, we talked about this. I think we talked about this last time I was on, but Clint Kubiak comes from it, like his dad's coaching tree. Gary Kubiak, who came up under like Mike Shanahan, was the OC when the Broncos were the Broncos of like Terrell Davis dropping 2,000 yard seasons. To your point, Ryan, we're running like the wide zone run scheme. So in a perfect world, like I don't remember the numbers, but the Saints were a much worse rushing team last year than they historically have been. So if you can solve that and to your listener's point, like take the ball out of Carr's hands a little bit. I think you're in a better spot.
Yeah. And I think that's what they'll never come out and say it. Like, but I think that's what they want. Like John Gruden did it. Like that's how Carr was successful in Oakland and in Vegas, is that he did it that way. And this is more of a question to Ryan, just kind of previewing the game a little bit. You talked about offensive line. The biggest matchup offensively to me of this game is Trevor Penning going against Jadeveon Clowney. Like I would be fascinated to know if Clint's gonna obviously like maybe help him on certain downs and chipping or what have you, but it's just a thing where, you know, there's so many holes at the offensive line, left guard, we have Lucas Patrick, they're putting Trevor Penning out there more than likely. And it's gotta just kind of wait and see.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, Derrick Brown is a monster in the middle for the Panthers.
Such an underrated player.
Well, you talk about underrated. When we did our D-line rankings, we broke up the like interior D-line into like guys who can stop the run and guys who can rush the pass. And Derrick Brown was our number one D lineman when it came to stopping the run. Like he's a beast in the middle. So you almost have to run outside.
Right.
It's like it's a legitimate question. How old is Jadeveon Clowney? And like, how can you?
Let me look it up.
Serious question. Does Google know that?
31. 31.
Like, how's he still doing this?
And you could argue that last season with the Ravens was his best season of his career. Career.
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing looking in this game. I think we're going as the offense, we are going to get more Chris Olave, who is not going to be so static in where he lines up, which is going to be very big. A good matchup just from the football porn, just, you know, take the fandom out of it. Seeing Chris Olave going against, you know, potentially like a healthy JC Horn. That's just a good football matchup. But it's just, it's like Ryan said, this feels like the first time in almost 20 years. It's like Sunday's going to be like, we're like kids at Christmas unwrapping a present. Cause it's like, what's the offense going to be? Is it going to be like motion? Is it going to be we go from having Sean Payton for as long as we as fans had him, and then kind of transition to Pete Carmichael, who ran the same exact system. This is the first time that it's truly a completely different offense, completely different system that we just haven't seen.
Yeah, for sure. You need, you know, week one. That's why week one. I think for every, I mean, like you mentioned off the top, I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm like so excited for tomorrow night. I just want to see, you know, I have a pretty good sense we'll be all right, but like I want to see what the vertical.
Get out of here.
Get out of my face, Scott.
Listen, man. Listen, man. I don't know how old you guys are, but I'll say that my age starts with a 4. I say that to say that there was a lot of years where I watched the Chiefs be terrible. So I'm not going to apologize for them being good for the last 5 or 6 years.
I mean, good. There's good, and there's like Chiefs good. Like, you can't even say good. Like, good is underselling how good the Chiefs have been.
Yeah. Anyways, my point is, I want to see if we can get back to a vertical passing game. Even though it's a bummer that Hollywood Brown is hurt, but like every fan base, it's fun to have that anticipation and be like, what's, you know. You got all the training camp videos, with most of which are BS, you know. So, like, what's actually real?
Yeah, we know. Well, let's talk a little bit about
that. Thank you. That's just a shot at the Saints with the training camp BS videos, but continue.
It was not a shot at this. It was mostly I think the Bills are the worst contender.
But let's talk a little bit about the Chiefs game tomorrow. That's a good one, man, against the Ravens. What are you thinking as far as matchups with that one?
Yeah, one of the things that we did, which we haven't put out a ton, but one of the things our data scientists did is went and looked at all of the player offseason changes and tried to quantify the amount of player production, havoc or threat rate lost on various teams. And the Ravens were the 32nd ranked team in the league in terms of like the amount of havoc and or threat rating they lost in the offseason. Like, they lost a ton.
Particularly
on defense.
Defense, yep.
They lost Geno Stone, they lost Jadeveon Clowney, they lost Patrick Queen. Mike McDonald didn't have a havoc rating, but yeah, they lost like probably a top three defensive coordinator in the league, right? So we actually expect both their defense and the Chiefs defense to be worse. So last game they played was 17-10 in the AFC championship game. We think that should go up. But we think the Ravens defense is a lot worse. We think the Chiefs offense is going to be better. With all of that, we just talked about the vertical passing game. So we see the Chiefs winning. The Chiefs actually, like the Saints, have one of the biggest home field advantages in the league. You don't agree?
I agree that the Chiefs have an incredible home field advantage. I will just say, as a Saints fan, I think a lot of the lore and prestige of the Superdome and the home field advantage has worn off not completely. But like, there are times when the dome is rocking, but I would just say, like, it wasn't like it was a few years ago. I'll just put it like that. There's still an advantage, but I don't think it is as much of an advantage as it used to be.
Yeah. All right. That's fair. Our model would tell us that the Saints do have a slight advantage at home versus the Vegas spread versus what Vegas quantifies it at. Anyways, we like the Chiefs in the game. The specific matchups that you talked about, we would expect Lamar Jackson and their offense to struggle kind of on like short and intermediate passes in the middle of the field. So what that means is a dude like Mark Andrews, I think his prop line is set at 48.5. We would expect him to go way under that, and that from a football standpoint, like, it's relatively simple. Spags takes away those short, quick throws as an outlet. He blitzed Lamar 47% of the time in the AFC Championship game. Jeez. So he's going to take away short throws. He's going to take away short throws. He's going to put pressure on him, and make Lamar scramble. And so, like, Mark Andrews, we don't like his matchup. The last two times the Chiefs played, George Kittle had one catch for 4 yards, and Isaiah Likely had two catches for 16 yards. So, like, we don't think Mark Andrews is getting 48.5. Hey, Adam, take that to the bank. Take that to the bank. but we do like Lamar Jackson rushing for all of the same reasons, right? Because take away the short passing game, put pressure on him. And actually, our best athlete at linebacker, the Chiefs' best athlete at linebacker, who shadowed Lamar in the AFC Championship game, Willie Gay, plays for the Saints now. And he's one of the most athletic, fastest linebackers in the league. like one of the few dudes that can shadow a guy like Lamar Jackson. So we think Lamar is going to get a little bit loose on the ground.
I want to give you some credit for that, because when you came on earlier, you were hyping up Willie Gay as a free agent signing, and when training camp started, he started making tons of plays. The first preseason game against the Cardinals, he was literally all over the field. Like it was like it, to this is that it, to me as just a, I'm just fascinated to see, and we can pivot back to tomorrow's game, but I'm just fascinated to see how Dennis Allen incorporates or plans to use combination Willie Gay, DeMario Davis, Pete Warner. Because you would think in modern day football, it's not oftentimes that you're going to have three off-ball linebackers on the field, with nickel being, you know, the new base. So I just feel like he needs to, like he has an impact, and it's going to be hard to keep him off the field.
Yeah, I think Willie's a stud. He came out of Mississippi State super athletic, and I think a little bit raw in terms of on-field performance, what he did in pass coverage, etc. But I think by last year, he was super athletic, but also a pretty intelligent, versatile linebacker.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And the only he's also an incredible locker room guy. Like really, really good in the locker room, really good energy. The only reason the Chiefs let him walk, I think, is there's a million people they have to pay.
Yep.
And they decided not to pay linebackers.
It's a luxury for being a dynasty. Like, you can't keep it right.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm,
and that's fascinating. It's fascinating because, you know, the Saints have kind of taken that approach. They did the same thing with DeMario Davis a couple years ago, who was kind of similar. It took him a while to really get his footing in the league. Mm-hmm. Played for the Browns or to the Jets, you know. Then he started showing some things, and they signed him to a relatively cheap deal. The Saints did, and then he's been multiple All Pro seasons and all that stuff. So I think they're kind of hoping Willie Gay will be on it. I mean, maybe not as good as DeMario Davis, but like on that trajectory where you kind of hit your peak later in your career. But kind of flipping. Back to the Panthers Saints game. The Saints, I'm really high on Chase Young. I wasn't as high when they signed him, because they signed him and then he come to find out he had to get a neck surgery. I'm like, oh, what are they doing? You know, this is scary. But look, he's healthy. He's not on the injury report. He looked really good in the preseason. He looked good in practice. You know, all the reports are showing that, you know, he's good. So how does Field Vision incorporate a player like that, where, or do you just look at his past production, you know, with his previous teams, and just kind of model it that way until you get the new data as he plays with the new team? How do you guys, you know, incorporate that?
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com /energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The NFL season is around the corner, and you know what that means. Sports gambling is going to be in full effect.
Yes, sir. The degenerates are out. They're trying to make some money.
Money.
Look no further than Swamp Daddy Betts. He's partnered with DubClub.win, and you can get all of his NFL and other sports plays for $5 a month with promo code SAINTS.
We are partnered with a guy, Swamp Daddy Betts, who is going to have access to some of the best cappers you can get. If you sign up through Swamp Daddy Betts, you can get access to Dub Club for $5, and that will get you access to some of the best sports cappers out there, so you can make the best plays for the week. You get access to their Discord, all the reliable information that you need to make money.
Money. That's dubclub.win at Swamp Daddy Betts. Promo code SAINTS. Promo code SAINTS. $5 a month. Start getting out there and making money.
Yeah, I already mentioned that our model has tried to take into account player movement in the offseason, right? And players who are high in havoc or threat rating who have moved to other teams, and take into account how that helps or hurts a defense. With Jadeveon, or not, sorry, with I'm getting my edges on difference. With Chase Young specifically, I don't know. I would not expect you guys to listen to the matchup, which is Field Vision's podcast, because your guys is way more dialed in than ours at this point. But we did, when we were breaking down defensive players, we did a defensive player who we expect to have a bounce back year, and mine was Chase Young. And the reason is because, like, when we, I was trying to bring this up, but when you look at his raw havoc score, he was in 2020, he was like a top 10 edge in the league, right? Yeah. Like a very good edge. He took a dip down in 2021, was hurt all of 2022. And then last year, he had a raw havoc score of 80.5 in 2020. And then last year, it dipped to 41. So literally, he was half as productive a player in 2023 that he was in 2020. So our, obviously right now, our model doesn't think he's that good in terms of his production. But anytime a player within the last 3 or 4 years has been a top 10 player, and with him, he's number 2 overall pick, like, you know, he has that potential. So I would expect to see him in a Dennis Allen defense where guys like Trey Hendrickson, other edges have seen success. I think he's going to have a better year than he had last year for sure.
So people, if you're in the chat asking Scott like fantasy football questions, sincerely, please go download the Field Vision MI app in the Apple Store or Google Store. There's a 2 week there's a 2 week trial, and after that, it is $9.99.
Please, I appreciate that plug, Adam. Yeah, we're happy to answer them live on podcast too.
I just try to get you. I mean,
two week free trial. Just, get it in there. Try it out. If you saying, like it, keep
gotta,
it. If you don't,
gotta promote the brand. You got the hoodie on. We gotta get you out there, Scott. Gotta get you out there, bro. Like that's gonna be getting. Yeah, look. Go get the freebies.
Yeah,
one of the most these guys, interesting players.
Adam and Ryan are in there for free because we love the Saints. Let it be known that Field Vision loves the Saints.
Yes, it's so funny because you know it's. I guess life is just funny that way. Never, I don't think Ryan or I thought when you know we had Cody on this past summer when it was in the off season. There wasn't a lot going on. It was like right before the draft, and I had seen Cody, you know, on Twitter, and I was like, man, like that's like it speaks to like our language, right? Like that's exactly what we like. So never did I thought like months later, you know, you guys have a company, you guys have an app and are doing very, very cool things in that spectrum, right? So it's just life is funny that way. Something I'm very interested in, and I'm interested to see how Field Vision captures this. One of the most interesting players that the Saints have on offense is Taysom Hill. We expect his role to maybe mirror that of a Kyle Juszczyk, but also we expect him to get snaps at running back, and he's just going to be used all over the field. What is his, like, what is Taysom Hill's threat rating? Like, how does that, like, he's just such a unique player. He's not like anyone in the league offensively. I would just be fascinated to know how a player like that is kind of encaptured or encapsulated. I don't think we talked about kind of the flip side, Saints defense, Carolina offense. I will say, I think if you're a Saints fan and you're just thinking that like this is going to be like, you know, Bryce Young's going to be easy pickings like he was last season. I know it's just preseason, but just that one drive I saw that David Canales had him in, like, it looked different. There you go. Scott's back. Scott's back, guy. Crisis averted.
I don't know what happened.
Crisis.
did you guys cut me off?
We don't. Crisis may not be averted.
Crisis not averted.
Thought crisis was averted. Crisis would. Oh, no, yeah. Correct. We're good. He's there. I see him. Yeah. All right. We're good.
I think this is. I'm sorry. This might be on me. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. I think it's all these havoc and threat rating spreadsheets that are making my computer crash.
Better do it, man.
I will get back to the Taysom thing. I'd ask Ryan a question. While you hopped out for a little bit, just telling Saints fans at the PSA, like, don't think that just going into this game, like the Carolina offense just going to be like a easy poo poo offense. I think Dave Canales is really going to make the game easier for Bryce Young and try to essentially, you know, they went out, got two guards to beef up the middle, to stop interior pressure. And he did a lot of things in that first drive that Bryce Young it was preseason, but I was impressed just in terms of how comfortable he got him involved in the game.
Yeah, I'm a Dave Canales fan for sure. Anyone who can do what he did with Baker and that Bucks offense, and he, you know, he had similar success when he was in Seattle. Like, so mm-hmm. I think Canales is good. I just don't see Bryce Young having the appropriate tools to be a top tier quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm just being fully transparent, yeah. Like I don't think he necessarily has the arm talent. Although we just saw Canales be pretty good with a guy like Baker Mayfield. But I think Bryce Young's limitation for them. They you know, they went and got Deontay Johnson, but their receivers are still, like, I would say,
slow. Yeah, lumbering.
Slow, and Leggett is, although everyone loves him on Twitter, you know, he's young, he's got to prove himself. So I don't disagree with you, but I think Dennis Allen and the Saints defense is going to be fine against Bryce Young.
Hope so. Because it would be the most hilarious thing. Like, I you know, we talked about the game, like, if it just becomes like a shootout, just like the defense, like, and Ryan has been predicting this for like months. He's like, when the funny thing just be like a huge just shootout, just back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on?
I mean, the other thing about Bryce Young, which is particularly not good against a defense like the Saints, is I feel like he's got happy feet. Like, he's so uncomfortable in the pocket.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he gets sped up quickly. And I actually think it was against the Saints early on last year.
Week two.
DeMario Davis gets around the corner and literally gets like a finger on the back of his jersey, and Young just went down to the ground. And I'm like, you can't, that can't be the deal in the NFL. Like, you can't be an NFL quarterback and have one finger on you and get taken to the ground. So.
Yeah,
you know, who knows? Maybe he got stronger. Maybe he's more calm in the pocket. But I'm not sure I see it.
Yeah, yeah, and he's so small, and that's not just how he looks small. You know, like some look, Baker Mayfield is not a big quarterback, but you know, he plays, you know, kind of with a little oomph to him.
Right.
Bryce Young looks so small last year, and we'll see. We'll see. I do think he, you know. He has some talent. I think if they could get the quick rhythm pass game going for him, he'll do well.
Yep.
But it's going to be interesting. But look, like Dave Canales, man, like he came into the dome, what it was, week three, week four last year, and they ran the hell out of the ball and forced mistakes on Saints offense. And I mean, they came out with a win. It shocked everybody. And so, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if the Panthers offense, you know, shows a little something. It's I can't wait to watch the game, man. I'm ready for football.
Oh yeah. So just going back to your Taysom point before you cut out, just in terms of where he kind of ranked on your guys' threat, but we don't want to shut down your whole system.
Yeah. We had him actually as the number 11 ranked tight end, just behind Dalton Kincaid. Not because he's good of a pure tight end as Dalton Kincaid, but just because of everything he does. Like when he runs the ball. See, I think the comp of being a Juszczyk type player is a really good one. Although he is Taysom similar to Chase Young. And when I say that, I just mean like he had pretty epic 2020 and 2021 years and has fallen off in terms of production over the last couple. And so we had him we would have had him really high in 2020-21, have him lower, obviously. But when you throw him in with kind of this like hybrid H-back, I think Cody would call him an H-back.
Yeah.
Look, he's still like a top 10 to 15. He's as good as any of those, you know, the guys that fall in the range of 10 to 15 in the league.
Interesting. That's fascinating.
Better than Kyle Pitts.
I'll take it.
I just said that because I looked and we have Kyle Pitts as 12 in our threat ratings for tight ends. Taysom is 11.
That's hilarious.
It is. Anything else for? I mean, we could maybe, you know, anything from like any games that just stand out to you. It doesn't have to be, I guess. It doesn't have to be exactly like betting advice, but just something that's just like a flashing thing of all the matchups this week.
Yeah, so just out of curiosity, we'll find out if this is going to be a flashy pick or not. Well, I'll give you two games. Hey, okay. who do you guys think is going to win the Packers Eagles game?
My gut tells me the Packers, purely off gut, like no information whatsoever.
I would I would echo that. And I feel like you're going to tell me that the data says something else.
Yeah, we have – everyone loves the Packers. They're the offseason darling. Jordan Love went nuts in the back half of the season, and they shredded the Cowboys. We our model really likes the Eagles, 27-23-ish. And the reason is something similar to what we talked about with Chiefs-Ravens, which is the Eagles actually improved their team a bunch in the offseason, right, in terms of the guys they brought in and the coordinators they brought in, like two proven guys in Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore. Where the Packers did the opposite. We had them like down in the bottom of the league in terms of productivity they lost. And while I think Jeff Hafley could be good on the defensive side of the ball, he's way different than what they had before. So like there's going to be an adjustment period. So that's one. The other one, which I actually haven't spent a ton of time thinking about, but Browns Cowboys, who you got? Dallas in Cleveland at afternoon game on Sunday.
Oh, I would go Dallas. I don't trust anything.
Sean Watson, yeah. I don't trust him.
I don't. So that I would go Cowboys.
Yeah. Okay. Our model likes the Browns.
Figured.
I love that because I want to see how the models compare to what actually happened.
Yeah. That's
going to be so fascinating.
One of the things, which I, not to tout the Field Vision app again, go try your 14-day free trial, but there's that we've got a prediction for every game, like a matchup for every player, but also a prediction for every game. And it's, you know, we're trying to be as unbiased as possible and just tell us what the numbers say. So that Browns Cowboys game is one where I would have leaned the same way you guys did. But the Browns had the best defense in the league last year, you know?
They did.
And so in theory, you're at home. That should give you a big advantage. No telling how Deshaun Watson's going to look.
No telling.
I think one of the most fascinating, interesting games this week or this weekend is Seahawks and Broncos. Like, that is such a fascinating game to me. Like, I'm sure, like, you know, if you look like experts and maybe the numbers would pick like Seattle, but I don't know, man. Like, Sean Payton with the rookie quarterback who probably hasn't shown everything in preseason. That's just a fascinating game to me.
Yeah.
Do Saints fans feel like Bo Nix is going to be the second coming of Drew Brees with Sean Payton like Broncos fans do?
No.
I will say Saints that. Fans, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, Saints fans are big SEC fans. So a lot of them think Bo Nix is just trash from his Auburn days. But, you know, he's not going to be the second coming of Drew Brees. But, you know, I just know Sean Payton he's going to coach and manage the hell out of Bo Nix. The way he just won't be a major factor on the negative side, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Dink and dunk.
Yeah. I think Ryan and I just overall were were higher on Bo Nix at the prospect than most people. Like, people just hated him. And maybe because I live on the West Coast, I saw a lot of Bo Nix in his Oregon, and I went and I tweeted it. I was like, he has improved his accuracy tremendously from when he was at Auburn to when he went to Oregon. And it's like Ryan said, like that SEC bias or like that kind of preconceived notion, people didn't really, like, I could say, like, I had that about Spencer Rattler. Like, all I remember from Spencer Rattler was his Oklahoma days before he got drafted. I didn't really look and dig into his South Carolina tape. So I get how that could happen, but we were like, he at the worst was like bottom of round one, early round two quarterback talent. Like, his, you know, if you take away his age, just what you saw. And so I'm interested to see how it plays out.
Yeah. Me too. I'm not as, well, I was going to say I'm not as high on him, but he, it only because played 6 years in college. You're bound to be you. Most games, most games ever started by anyone in college football ever. You're just bound to be pretty polished by.
I would hope so.
Yeah, you're bound to be pretty polished by the end of that, and like his game to me, his game looks and feels and reads like very polished, and like I can get the ball out quick. I can hit my spots. Yep. Like I have heard Peyton talk about his accuracy, which I think is like a legit, like the most important thing you can be as a quarterback is accurate.
Absolutely.
And so if he can do that, not just on short passes, but you know, 15 yard outs and further down the field, like he, yeah, but all it's, I'm waiting to see on Bo Nix. I like everyone else, like the Seahawks.
I get it. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if the Broncos won that game. Like I just, because I'm a Saints fan and I know how Sean Payton like coaches, like he's going to have that team feeling like they're like back against the wall. And it's like week one, just because everyone else is like, that's just how he is. That's just how he's wired. But to your point about Bo Nix, and I think this is just a football conversation. I don't know. I forgot who it was Greg Cosell. Greg Cosell was talking about Brock Purdy and kind of just saying like, not underselling the fact of running an NFL offense is like a strength. Like that's a positive. And I think as fans, experts, it's kind of just like, going back to the Saints, if Derek Carr can't run Clint Kubiak's offense, the whole season could go off the rails very quickly. So just being able to run an offense, like I think that's a talent and a positive in and of itself.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. This is the last question we'll ask you because this came from the chat. Mark asked, do you think the Chiefs will three-peat this year?
He's a data guy. He's a probability guy. So that's a tough one, man.
I was gonna say, well, I'm gonna steal a line from my little brother Sasha, who also works on Field Vision with me. If you're asking me if I think the Chiefs are gonna win the Super Bowl, I would say no. Like, if you're gonna ask me to take the Chiefs versus the field, I would say no. If you're going to ask me to pick the one team I think is most likely to win, it's the Chiefs. Mm. You know what I mean? Like them versus the other 31 teams, like give me the other 31 teams in terms of probability, but I don't see another team that has a better shot at winning than they do.
Yeah. Cause that all to that point, like to me it's like, if you give me 15 versus the field, I'm always going to take 15. I felt like I'm from Lubbock. I saw him at Texas Tech. And so like what he's doing isn't surprising to me, but he has shown, I think was it the Texans game, playoff game? That was the first game. And then he had the run against the Titans before a half that was for a touchdown. And it's just been insane since. Like, I don't think we've seen anything remotely close to him.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And I don't know if you guys have to go, but I this made me think of this. I got an interesting question for you. So I did not do this, but last year at the start of the season, I was thinking, I'm going to pick the top five teams. And like the five teams I think have a chance to win a Super Bowl, put, say, let's just call it for a round number, put $1,000 on all of them to win the Super Bowl. And so last year I was thinking Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, Eagles, and Niners. If I put $1,000 on all of them, if one of those five wins, I come out on top, because I think the Chiefs were like plus 650, same thing they had this year. So you spend 5,000 to get, you know, 6,500 back. If the Bengals win, who were like plus 1,100, then obviously you get more money back. So it's like, that actually feels kind of smart, because I think there's only a handful of teams who could win it. Now, you could have got screwed, because like the Ravens were the best team all year and they weren't in that group. Right. But if you were going to do that this year, who are the five teams you'd do it with? Sorry. It's a deep question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For me, it would be, I can't rank order them, but it would be the Chiefs, the Lions, the Ravens, the Bills. I'm struggling with the Bills and Texans.
Okay. I would go Chiefs, Lions, Niners, Texans, and the Bengals.
Chiefs, Lions, Niners, Texans, Bengals.
Yeah.
I think that'd be my list.
Yeah.
I could see putting the Bengals in there, the Ravens in there, the Bills in there, or the Dolphins, which is like really going out on a limb.
Yeah.
Adam, you wrote down the exact same five that I did. But I don't feel as good about it as I did last year.
Interesting. The Ravens, listen, we this is a debate that we have in our Discord all the time. Our dude Wayne and Ryan, just me and Ryan, just come from the point of like, at some point, and we love Lamar as a player, but at some point when he gets to the playoffs, like, he has to just go out and like put the team on his back and win playoff games. Like if you want to be in that conversation, right? At some point we have to see it. And maybe it happens this year, maybe it doesn't. But that's the thing for me. Like, I'm like, I got to see it from Lamar, because his rookie season, can't remember who the head coach of the Chargers was at the time. I know, but I can't remember who was coach at the time. Was it
Anthony Lynn?
Yeah.
Was it Anthony Lynn? Their game plan was essentially the same game plan that Steve Spagnuolo used last year.
Yep.
They used Derwin James. They had him blitz. And it's like, that was however many years ago it was. And the same thing happened. At some point, you got to figure that out. You got to get past that. Yeah. it is, I know, we know Wayne. Wayne is saying, he's on the corner that Lamar is better than Josh Allen. We know Wayne. We can agree.
I don't know Wayne, but I don't know if I agree with that, Wayne.
You about to start him up now.
Yeah, I know, right. Scott, man, congratulations to you, to Cody, to Sasha. I'm sure there's other people on the team that I may be leaving out. We're really, really excited for you guys with Field Vision. I know yesterday was like a huge day for you guys, and we are wishing you guys the most success. We still have 41 concurrent viewers on, which you guys are sickos. Like, it's 11 o'clock where most of you guys are. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. If you have not downloaded Field Vision yet, please go to the Apple App Store, go to the Google Play Store, download Field Vision. The first 2 weeks are free 99. And then after it is $9.99. We feel very passionate, very strongly that you guys are just going to kill it. And so much love. We appreciate you coming on and just chopping it up with us and talking Saints, Panthers, and just talking Field Vision and just football, man. It's just good to talk about football with football happening tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey, man, I want to say, you said something earlier about meeting Cody and then us meeting that made me think of something. I just want to say, we at Nike, I spent 12 years there. We used to have this saying, like, if you do the right thing by people and by consumers, you'll make money damn near automatic. And like, that's the way I feel about you guys is, like, you guys, like I said, you guys were like on the Field Vision train before we were doing anything. And awesome enough to bring me on the podcast. So we appreciate it, man. You guys are awesome people. And I love coming on here and talking to you, and appreciate all the like Field Vision hype. So just thank you. And, you know, we'll come back and talk football with you guys anytime you want.
Oh, appreciate it. We might have to get Cody on mid-season so he can talk a football language like no one else understands except him. But it sounds, I love Cody, man. Like, it's just a different type of football conversation. Like, you have to break his mind is just wired differently, and I love it. But
yeah,
love y'all guys. Much success. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Happy first weekend.
Have a good one, Matt. That was Scott of Field Vision. So check them out. Sunday night, it is, or sorry, it's not Sunday night. Sunday morning, first football game, Saints game at least, is happening. If you are not a Patreon, please become a Patreon. Jump in the Zooms. Please jump in the Zooms.
Be lit.
Whether it's good or bad, we gonna have fun. Regardless. Last thing before we hop off, what's your prediction for the game on Sunday? Saints win, and if so, a score, whether they win or not.
I'm feeling good, bro. Saints gonna win.
Mm-hmm.
27.
Oh, they scored 27 points, nigga? Oh, my God.
27 points. 27-21, a little butt clincher, but I feel good about it, bro. Saints about to get the W, man. We about to exercise some demons out here.
Let's go. Going Saints win. I'm close to your score, Dante. I'm going 24-17. Saints win.
That's what Field Vision say. Field Vision say. So.
Hey, there it is. We will be back on Sunday. We have the live stream going on Sunday. If you want to be in the Zoom, you need to be a Patreon. If not, we'll be live streaming on YouTube. Like and subscribe, and then we'll be back Sunday. We'll see how we feel. We'll try to do a rapid reaction recap pod, because we know y'all love that. Like, that is super successful. So we will try to do a rapid one as soon as we can after the game. We'll be back on Sunday. Enjoy football Thursday, Friday. College football, if you're a sicko. LSU fans are complaining on my timeline again. That's why I know football is really back. Like, that's when football is back, bro. Like, it's like, LSU fans are disappointed? Ah, shit, football back, bro.
It's that time again.
We'll be back on Sunday. And with that, we're out.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.